I'm going to keep these. When I'm old, I can say to my grandchildren, look, Grandpa was famous. Maybe things turn out the other way. Look, this was the end of Granddad's career. We're not here to get funny. We're here to talk about backup, restore, and disaster recovery. Oh, about the language thing. We have some sayings in the Netherlands and some jokes, and it's difficult to translate these to English. And generally speaking, it's not a good idea to do. But we have a saying that when you see something coming, you feel something coming, we say there's a monkey in your sleeve. Now, when we look at this, this question, for example, that was posted on Facebook, I think, 6 weeks ago. And this guy was saying, okay, I'm trying to create a backup in Exchange 2010 in a DAG, Windows Server backup. It's running for 2 days, and nothing happens. Now, you can feel there's something behind it. So after some questioning, it turned out he had two servers, 900 gigabytes mailbox databases. It will take some time. I hope to explain in this session what's going on and why it's taking so much time, because Exchange is using snapshot technology, and some people tend to say snapshot's not difficult, 10, 15 seconds, and then you're done. There's more than that. The agenda for today. I have a small introduction about backup, restore, what, when, and why. I'm going to talk a bit about database technologies, the mailbox database, the easy database, JET transactional system, backup, restore, recover server, and the last part, if time permits, I'm going to talk about the Exchange native data protection, also referred to as the backup-less environment, which tend to scare people a lot. I used to have 75 slides, yes, and 3 demos. And then Brian Shires from the organization said, it might be a bit too much. So I'm down to 51. There are some hidden slides in there. I have 2 demos. So I hope I have enough time. The question is, why do you need to backup? To recover from minor disasters. Minor between brackets. And what kind of disasters? Accidentally deleted items by users, or even worse, senior management. They always delete messages, and they come back to the IT administrator. I need this message. I deleted it 6 months ago, and I need it now. That hurts. Corrupted items. You don't see these that often, but it still happens. Or a database failure. When for some reason your disk fails, or your controller fails, or maybe your server fails, you need to recover a database, or you need to recover a server. There might be other requirements, though. Legal requirements. Depending on the vertical you're working in, there might be requirements that you need to keep your data somewhere safe, maybe on another location, 4, 3, 5, 7 years, maybe 100 years, who knows? It depends on the vertical. If you have requirements like this, it makes life a bit more challenging. And another thing you need backup for is to purge the transaction log files. You need to do it. If you don't, at some point your disk will fill up and your database will automatically dismount and your users can no longer work. As a side note, a DAG, database availability group, is not a replacement for backups. Maybe partially, but it's not an end-to-end solution or replacement for backups. What do you want to backup? Is the next question. I'm looking at the mailbox database. That's the most important part in Exchange. This is where your data is stored, where the mailboxes are stored, the public folders are stored, everything. All the content that's sent, received, is stored in the mailbox databases. And you want to backup it on a regular basis, every day, every week full backup, daily incremental backup, whatever. You want to backup log files, protocol log files, transport log files, etc. You want to backup these maybe on a daily basis, store somewhere else. Maybe you want to backup some modified configuration files on your Exchange server. Especially when you want to rebuild your Exchange server, you need these configuration files later on to recover the server. Maybe you want to backup your system state of the Exchange server. Or maybe you want to backup the entire server, especially when you have a virtual Exchange in a virtual machine, you can easily backup the entire server. And you can backup your certificates. Now, these all have a different backup cycle. Your mailbox databases and your protocol transport log files you want to backup on a daily basis. Your system state, your config files, your certificates, you want to do it maybe once every 12 months. Or certificates just after you requested a new certificate or renewed the certificate. You want to create a backup file, store it somewhere safe. But the main thing is all have a different backup cycle. How do you backup? How often do you backup? What do you do with the backup media afterwards? How long do you keep it? Typically, you use a backup application, and there are several backup applications. Windows Server Backup, Data Protection Manager, this is the Microsoft solutions, NetBackup, Tivoli Storage Manager, Veeam. There are plenty of supported backup solutions. And they have one thing in common. They all use VSS snapshots. Important to note, the backup application should be Exchange aware. So it should know, I'm going to backup Exchange. Exchange is a dynamic thing, and I have to do some to perform some additional steps. It should know about the Exchange internals. Which leads me to the database technologies. This is the most important part about the backup. And the Exchange database is an extensible storage engine, ESE. And ESE is a special database, a JetBlue database. It was designed originally for Exchange 4. It's still around. After 17 years, we can say, okay, there were a couple of major changes in the JET database. The first major change came with Exchange 2007, when we switched to 64-bit platform. From a database perspective, that was a major change. The second major change came with Exchange 2013, when we moved from the traditional C++ development environment to a complete managed code C# development or environment. It was completely rewritten in its complete .NET application. There's also some Jet Red you may have heard, and they have the same origin. It started back then, long ago, and Jet Red is basically used as the database you see in Access, for example. There are other applications as well, other servers that use ESE. Active Directory, for example, uses the same transactional database. When the Windows team needs a new instance of ESE, it gets the database directly from the Exchange product team. So it's one-on-one the same database technology. And ESE follows the ACID principle. It's atomic, which means it's all or nothing. Something happens, or something doesn't happen. There's nothing in between. Binary, 0, 1. It's consistent. It's a transactional system, and it preserves consistency. It's also isolated. We have this big server, and there's only one, this single transaction going on a particular amount of data at a certain point. There can be millions of transactions, but each have their own data to be processed. And it's durable. Committed transactions are preserved in a database. You can compare this, for example, when you withdraw money from your bank account. That's the same ACID principle. You either get your money or you don't. You don't want this withdrawal to end up somewhere in the middle. It's consistent, it's isolated, it's durable. It's the same idea. You don't want this to happen, except that you don't want this bank administrator to be able to replay this transaction and get your money. Email is processed in transactions, and transactions can be a new mailbox, a new folder, new email, move email from one folder to another, delete items. All these are transactions, and these are processed by the exchange server, the information store, and stored in the EC database. And these are called transactions. You can find more information on an article I wrote a couple of years ago on the SimpleTalk website. It's about Exchange 2003, so it's pretty old. On the other hand, the basic idea, the principle behind the transaction, did not change that much. The same article was used as additional reading for the Microsoft Master Training, so it should be fine, I guess. The Exchange database consists of several files. We have, of course, the mailbox database, which is the EDB file. They start as 250 megabyte, and they can grow up to large. The largest file supported by Microsoft is a 2 terabyte database file. If the database is configured in a database availability group and has at least 2 additional copies. If you have a single server, then Microsoft recommends using 250 gigabyte mailbox databases. Because of your service level agreement. If you want to create a backup or have to do maintenance or maybe restore information, it will take a reasonable amount of time. Creating a backup of a 2 terabyte file, even worse, restoring a 2 terabyte file will take hours, maybe days. There's a checkpoint file, and there are some other files and directories that are not EC specific. These are used for indexing or for replication, for example. And here you see the transaction log files. Let's see. You see my mouse here? No mouse. Here at the bottom, E01, a couple of zeros, and then a sequential number. There are some reservation files. These are pre-created log files. They are created for in case the disk fills up. An Exchange has a couple of reserved files it can use for properly shutting down the database. We have the checkpoint file in top, E01.check. The mailbox database is somewhere down there. And we have a couple of directories on top, which in this case are for replication purposes. So how does it work? Everything is processed in memory, of course. You can create new email. Mail comes in via SMTP and are converted somehow to transactions. And all transactions are created in server memory. And server memory for every database is separated in the cache buffers, a version store, and log buffers. And everything, when things are processed, Exchange keeps tracks of all the transactions, keep tracks of the versions of all transactions. These are stored in the version store, and there is a special log buffer. These are 1 megabyte buffers where all the transactions are stored. When the log buffer is filled up with transactions, the entire log buffer is stored to the disk as the transactional log file, E00.log, for example. As soon as this log buffer is filled with data, it is stored immediately to the log file to preserve the data in there. And later on, the data is written into the database, which means that during operation of an Exchange server, there is data in memory, there's data in the log files, and there's data in the database. The log files are always up to date. The mailbox database, on the other hand, it's called a lazy write or write-ahead logging, is lagging behind. And the checkpoint file is the one that keeps track between the log files and the mailbox database. all we have, this is better. We have memory, we have the transaction log files, the mailbox database, and we have the checkpoint file, the triangle on the right. Data is always stored immediately to the transaction log files. At some point, these transactions are stored into the mailbox database. And this is the point where the checkpoint file is advanced. This transaction is flushed to the database. Another transaction is flushed to the database. Another transaction is flushed to the database. So the checkpoint advances every time data is flushed into the mailbox database. This is called the checkpoint depth. And the checkpoint depth can be up to 50 or maybe 100 log files. So it can lag quite some time. And data is kept in memory because of the fact it might well be possible that in the near future, this particular data will be used again. And it's way faster to retrieve it from memory than to read it back from the disk. Now, why is this important to know? Oh, wait. So where's the data? It's in server memory, it's in the transaction log files, and it's in the mailbox database. And the part that's in server memory, that is already flushed into the log files, that's the part over there next on the top right of the mailbox database, which is basically an open file. And the data that's missing there in the database is stored in the log files. So why is this important to know? It's a dynamic system. And you need to know it, or your backup application needs to know it for recovery purposes. If you want to create a backup, you can copy the EDB file. But you have to keep in mind there's also data in the log files. So you need to backup these as well. There's also data in memory. And that's a bit more challenging to backup because you have to backup that data as well. And after you have created, maybe you want to recover sometime. It's a dynamic system, and important to know, all transactions are stored always in the transaction log files, and later on, they are stored into the database. You can use circular logging, because all the transaction log files will always be kept on disk until the end of time, or until they are removed. You can remove them manually, or they can be removed by the backup application. Transaction log files, important, are used to recover data. If you use circular logging, all the log files are removed from the disk. And Exchange 2013 and Exchange 2010 typically leave 20, 25 log files on the disk. It works fine, but you don't have any option to recover data because the log files are removed. And backup is not just a matter of copying some files. You have to make sure the database is backupped, the log files are backupped, and the data in memory is safe. There we are. Here we have an Exchange server, 2013, running on 2012 R2. We have a mailbox database here, 250 megabytes, and we have the transaction log files. This is the newest log file, E00. And during operation, it's filled with data, and at some point, it is stored with another name. And in this case, it will be stored as E00001DC. And a new E00 will be created. It's a continuous process. And they are numbered sequentially. In my oldest log file here, number one, which was created a couple of days ago. So I have a forward for my normal mailbox to this temporary mailbox. I can log on to it. just a normal mailbox with regular messages in it. And it's a continuous process. Now something happens. I'm to gracefully shut down my mailbox database. Something terrible happens. And I lose my mailbox database. Suppose this is a production server. Your manager is busy, and you lost your mailbox database. Now, am I in trouble? Yes and no, because it's not available anymore. But it's still possible to recover all the data. I created this mailbox database a couple of days ago, and everything is stored in the transaction log files. So the only thing I have to do is replay all the transaction log files, starting with numbers 1 up until the last one that was stored a couple of minutes ago. And I can use the tool ESEutil for this. I'm using the /r for recovery. I'm going to use the prefix E00, which is used for this particular database. And I'm going to say, OK, where are my log files located? /l. They are in FMDB01 log files. And the system file is in FMDB01 log files. The system file is the checkpoint file. And the checkpoint file determines where recovery is going to start. It's going to perform a soft recovery. It says, OK, operation completed successfully in 0.16 seconds. And when I look here, I don't have my mailbox database. This is the point where you start sweating. I forgot to remove the checkpoint file. And the checkpoint file is extremely important when, for recovery purposes, because it determines where recovery will start. Exchange thinks that all the data below the checkpoint file is stored safely in the database. But the database is gone, so that's no longer true. So we have to remove the checkpoint file and start all over again. And now you'll see it take a little longer. And when we open the Explorer here, you'll see the mailbox database there. And it's growing. It should be growing. Data still in cache somewhere. Takes about 30 seconds, 35 seconds, then it should be finished. These are the longest seconds of my life. And it's 40 seconds. Operation completed successfully. And I can mount the database again. Okay, there we are again. And I'm back in business. So the mailbox database, including my mailbox, was recovered fully from the transaction log files. So even if your disk fails, you lose your database. If your transaction files are fine, you are able to recover. There's one snag, though. If you lose the disk containing your mailbox database, I hope your transaction log files are stored on another disk. If not, you're in deep shit. Okay, sign out again. Now, in this particular example, I had all the transaction log files starting in number one. Most likely, that's not the case in your situation. So what I'm going to do next, I'm going to create an offline copy. Now, this is fun to see, and this is fun to do in a lab environment. You don't want to do this in a production environment, because you have to dismount your database, service discontinuity, complaining users. You have to be extremely careful about the database, about the log files and stuff. It's quite a lot of time. It's cheap, but so is Windows Server Backup. So, okay, I'm going to move this to our backup location, replace the file. Okay, now I'm going to purge the log files. And I have to figure out which log files are safe to delete. Select all, shift delete is not the proper way. You want to keep a couple of older log files to keep the same set of transaction log files. And you can check the header of the mailbox database. MH. Hey. That's better. And there's a lot of interesting information here in the mailbox database. For example, its state, it's in a clean shutdown, which means it is properly shut down. If it crashes or when it's in some kind of backup phase, it will be in a dirty shutdown. This one is completely consistent. It's just a regular file. I have here the options or the entries last attach and last detach, which means when is the mailbox database mounted the last time or dismounted for the last time, which is, in this case, log file 1DE. So it's safe to delete log files older than 1DE. 1DE here. So I keep a couple of other ones just for my gut feeling. I'm going to delete, and now I have purged my log files manually. I can mount the database again. And again, I'm back in business. And this is what you have to do every evening, which is not what I want to do, I assume. Okay. Again, I'm back in business. No, okay. Snooze. Lend be sent. Another email. I'm going to add an attachment just to generate some more log files. Okay, I'm going to send it. At the same time, I'm going to send an email from my Hotmail account. Now let's wait another seconds. Exchange is getting better and better and more stable and more reliable. at the same time, speed is gradually decreasing. I did, yeah, just making sure I selected the right one. Why is it taking so long? It shouldn't. Retry. Why is it not? It's not delivering messages, but I have no idea why right now. Restart. I've been playing with this morning, so maybe I've been mounting and dismounting the mailbox database too often. And transport is kind of stuck with all the dismount actions. So you see, it's still a best practice to reboot the server every now and then. Preferably before you do a presentation like this. It's a 16 gigabyte virtual machine running on HP with a 6-disk RAID 5, so you might expect it's fast enough. Horrible. At what point you have to decide to reboot the server? I'm pretty close to that decision. Oh, wait. Give it a couple of seconds, it's connecting right now. And if it still goes into retry mode, I reboot the server, continue with the presentation, and we get back to this particular demo later. One, two, three. There goes my career. So, I'll get you. What I wanted to show here is I have created an offline copy of the mailbox database. So it's stored somewhere else. I deleted the transaction log files, just like a regular backup application does. And I was trying to send some email to my mailbox. Then the next step would be to delete the newer mailbox database, copy the backup back to the original location, and replay the information in the newer transaction log files back to the production database. And you'll see the information that was just received will be replayed into the database, and we should be fine. Now, this is a perfectly good backup solution. It's a lot of work. It's prone to error, especially when it comes to log files. We have seen a complete row of log files. We are able to replay the log files. But if one log file is missing, replay will stop at that point. And there is absolutely no way to bypass that particular log file. So you have to use the last log file in the first sequence as the endpoint, and you can recover up to that point. And that's it. All the information in newer transaction log files are not able to replay into the mailbox database. And this can happen if you have a full slash incremental backup solution. So I create a full backup once every 2 weeks, and I create an incremental backup every day. And in this incremental backup, I only backup the transaction log files. When I want to restore, I restore the full backup, and I restore the incremental backups that were created on a daily basis. If one of these incremental backups has failed, I don't have these transaction log files available, and I'm not able to recover up until the point you want to do. Therefore, you have to be careful with incremental backups. The backup is not the issue. It's the restore. And if you have a differential backup, you can create a differential backup every day, but you have the transaction log files from the date the full backup was created up until now. So you only have to restore one full backup and one differential backup. When you have enough time, the best solution is to recover or to backup a full, to create a full backup on a daily basis. But if you have a 1 or 2 terabyte mailbox database or maybe more, might be time challenging. So we are going to switch to backup applications. Now I was creating a manual backup, and the longest time is actually in copying the EDB file. If you have a 500 gigabyte EDB file, it needs to be copied somewhere. And the first thing I showed you from the Facebook group, where this gentleman had 2 900 gigabytes mailbox databases, it will take a tremendous amount of time to copy it safe somewhere else. That's true if you create an offline backup, like I just did. But also, when you use a backup application, your data needs to be transferred somewhere else. And that takes a considerable amount of time. In the past, there was a streaming backup, which was using a Windows backup API. We have this EDB file, and the backup application, through this API, read all the individual pages in the EDB file. During reading of these pages, all individual pages were checked for consistency. If you had only one corrupt page in the database, backup would fail, log an entry in the event log, and that's it. But you knew at that point, or the next morning, that you have an issue with your mailbox database. But reading these pages takes a lot of time. And in the Windows 2000 and 2003 timeframe, it was doable. You could create a full backup overnight. But mailboxes grew, the amount of mail grew, mailbox database files grew, and at one point you needed more and more and more time. And an alternative was VSS, or snapshots. Snapshots, in this respect, is something completely different than snapshots used in Hyper-V or in VMware, for example. Maybe you have seen Jeff Mieliff's session yesterday about virtualization. And if I'm correct, he mentioned snapshot there as well. And a snapshot in Hyper-V, for example, is nothing else than a differencing disk. And a differencing disk is something completely different than a snapshot. Exchange is not supported using snapshots in Hyper-V. VSS, on the other hand, is a normal, regular backup framework, so perfectly fine here. And VSS came first with Windows 2003. And it consists of the virtual shadow copy service, which is running on Windows, a requester, which is typically a backup application. There's a writer, which is the application-specific part. There are writers for Exchange, for SQL, for Active Directory, for IIS, for NTFS, for Hyper-V, quite a lot. But the first VSS writer came with Exchange 2007. And if I'm correct, even in SP1 or SP2, there was a service pack redundancy there, but it's quite a long time ago. So I remember there was something there, but the first writer came with Exchange 2007. So we have the virtual shadow copy service in the middle. We have all kinds of writers. We have the requester. And we have providers. And out of the box, there's a Windows provider running on Windows capable of creating the snapshots of the individual disks or volumes. There are also hardware providers. So HP and EMC and Equalogic, they own provide their own hardware provider. And using this hardware provider, you can create snapshots on a hardware level. So you can create snapshots in your SAN, for example. The Exchange writer is the most important part when running Exchange. And it runs in, or is part of, the Exchange replication service. And it acts as the glue between the application, Exchange, and the requester. Can be Windows Server backup or whatever. And in my next demo, I hope to show Disk Shadow, which is a low-level tool you can use to check your VSS framework. And it's also a perfect tool to show what's going on. The Exchange writer tells the application to freeze because it's a dynamic system. There's data in the mailbox database, in the log files, and in server memory. If you want to create a backup, you have to make sure that all the data in server memory is safely stored in the mailbox database. If you do that, you can create a snapshot at that point and release Exchange again. During creation of the snapshot, the mailbox database will be set in read-only mode for a couple of seconds. All data in memory will be flushed into the mailbox database. To preserve it, it will set to read-only, and the snapshot will be created. After creation, it will be released. This will take somewhere between 10 and 15 seconds. You can request the writers using a tool called VSS admin, list writers. You will see all the writers. There's the Exchange writers. In this case, it says no errors. If you have issues with your backup application, one of the first questions your support organization or your vendor will ask, okay, perform VSS admin list writers and tell me the output of the writer. Most likely, it will be in some failed state. So what happens? A backup application requests a backup, and it signals the VSS service to prepare for a backup creation. Then VSS signals the Exchange writer to freeze the mailbox database. It will flush all information into the database. It will create the snapshot. Then it's going to the release. It's going to rewrite mode again. And VSS confirms to the backup application that a successful snapshot is created. At this point, there is only a snapshot. There is no backup yet. So everything is still on the same disk. That is, if you use a copy-on-write mechanism. There are two types of shadow copies. We have a clone, which is typically used in SAN solutions. And a clone is where you have a complete clone, a complete copy of the original volume. Another one is the copy on write, which is a differential copy on the disk by copying all the changes. And VSS creates a shadow copy storage area also known as the diff area. That's a reserved area on the disk. It's a hidden area where each block that's going to be modified by exchange is stored. So what happens? I create a snapshot at 1 a.m. in the morning, and this diff area is created. The snapshot is created, nothing happens. Exchange resumes, and at one point, data is written to the database, to the disk. Data is written to this particular block. But before it is written, the contents of this block is copied to the diff area. And when it's copied there, the new block is written. And exchange continues running. Multiple blocks are written, and each time a block needs to be written, it is first copied to the diff area. So the original data is preserved. So we have the new data, one view with the new data, which is what exchange sees, which is what you see using your client to the exchange server. The backup application, on the other hand, can read the original blocks stored in the diff area. So it can make a difference between the original blocks, change in the diff area, and the blocks on the disk that are not changed. And it constructs at that point the original data at the moment we created the snapshot. So over time, the longer it keeps running, the bigger the diff area gets. So you cannot, and the backup application will not, leave the diff area unattended for a long amount of time. I'll show you that later on. Let's see if I can log on already. We can create regular backups. We have a backup application, and we have an agent running on the machine. There we are. We can also create a backup of a virtual machine using VSS. This is what, for example, Veeam does. And then we have VSS backup on the Hyper-V level. But the same is true for VMware. And the virtualization layer signals VSS inside the virtual machine that the backup is created. Like this. So I have my backup application. The idea is the same. So the VSS serves, in this case, the Hyper-V writer, is signaled, OK, I want to create a backup. The VM is frozen, but at the same time, through the integration components, the VSS service inside the virtual machine where Exchange is running is signaled that a backup is created. Exchange is frozen, brought into a consistent state. A snapshot is created, it is released, and then the Hyper-V writer is released as well. When done, the transaction log files will be purged, just like a regular VSS backup. I'm screwed. What the hell? Now, I have seen quite a number of error messages, but oh, well, it is connected. And my messages are delivered. I think. Yeah, let me refresh. Five minutes? No. Ooh. Let's see. Yeah, here is the email I tried to I sent earlier on. I'm afraid I have to. Thank you. He was just signaling 5 minutes, and I think, what the heck? Now, let's see. Then I can do. Run as administrator, just to be sure. Now I switch back to the offline backup I was showing in previous demo. I'm going to dismount the database, delete it, and replace it with the previous copy we made. There it is. We go to this F. Shift delete. So this is the old mailbox database. I have to make sure that the checkpoint file gets deleted. Otherwise, replay will start at the latest available log file and it won't replay any other thing. We go to F. And you see, this is quite fast. So it finished in 2.5 seconds. But it only replayed the log files that were generated between my last backup and the current situation. And when I mount the mailbox database again, you will see there are my messages. So this is the point here where I created the backup and all the email that was generated later on was again replayed into the mailbox database. And basically, this is what a regular backup application does as well, although we do it manually here. So we go back to the virtual machine. Clear the event log. Yep, clear. Just to make it easier to browse to through the messages later on. Let's see. We have an application called Disk Shadow. Disk Shadow. And Disk Shadow is a low-level tool you can use to test your VSS backup infrastructure. But at the same time, you can use it to create regular backups. It's a lot of work, again. But I know people that actually use this technology, Disk Shadow, to create backups of their Exchange environment. A typical guy that does that is an MVP nerd, so wait a second. I have a couple of commands here. I set the verbose mode on. I set the context to persistent, so my snapshots will be preserved when I log off or reboot the machine. And I'm going to exclude all the other writers that are available on the machine. And the only writer I'm going to activate is the exchange writer. Writer verify and then the GUID of the exchange writer. So I'm going to cut and paste this. Now, and when you check this, we have a couple of... error messages, but that's managed availability. That's another session. So I'm going to begin the backup. And at this point, my backup application is talking to the VSS framework on the server to prepare, start preparing for a backup. And then I said, okay, I'm going to add volume F in the backup, assign it an alias. Let's see if we see. No, nothing written here. And I'm going to actually create the snapshot. This will take somewhere between 15 and 20 seconds. And my backup application is talking to the VSS service, in turn talking to the exchange writer to start the freeze, create the snapshot, and release the database again. So the database will be set in read-only mode for this particular amount of time. It will be brought into a consistent mode, and the snapshot will be created. Now we will see some entries here. Here, collected metadata document in preparation for backup. Following database will be backup, MDB01, successfully prepared. More collection, this is another one. Easy, full shadow copy, successfully prepared. Freeze started. Freeze started, it's frozen the databases. Freeze ended. At this point, the database has been brought into a consistent state, and here it is thawed, so the it's already released here. And that's it. So if we look here, right now we have created the shadow copy, which will take somewhere 15, 20 seconds. So if things happen, new messages arrive, the copy-on-write mechanism will make sure that the blocks that need to be changed are written in this diff area. We can check the diff area by exposing the snapshot as an additional disk. And when I go to Explorer, I have another disk. And this is based on the view into the diff area combined with the blocks on disk that are not changed yet. So, and this is my running database. This is my snapshot. And I can go to the snapshot. This is the snapshot is read-only, by the way. So if I want to delete, nothing happens. But I can use this. Exit. To check the database. And I will see that this the previous example was the database in a clean shutdown state. And here, since a snapshot was created from a running database, it is in a dirty shutdown. And to bring it into a consistent state again, you have to check the log required entry. So you need these log files to bring it in a consistent state. You can also use the snapshot to check for consistency. So it will read the mailbox database, and it will read all the individual pages and check for consistency. This is something the backup application has to do itself. This is not performed by the VSS framework. And when you end the snapshot, the log files that are no longer needed anymore are purged. Now, already closed the disk shadow, so you have to believe me on my honest words. But this is what happens when you create a VSS backup. And the only thing that's left to do is store this mailbox database somewhere on a safe place. Then you can release the snapshot. It will be removed. The diff area will be empty again. And you can wait for another 24 hours to create the snapshot. So this is what happens when you create the snapshot. And we'll automatically make sure that the proper log files are purged, etc. And it's a lot less work to do. I have 8 minutes left. That's cool. Besides backing up, you also have to, hopefully not, but maybe, restore a mailbox database. And there are two options. Restore to the original location and restore to an alternative location. And what happens when you restore to the original location? You're overriding the file or files that are on the original disk. And to do this, you have to dismount the mailbox database and override it. But there will be additional log files containing new information that was received after you created the backup. When you restore it, it will automatically replay the additional log files. So what we have seen in the first demo, or actually the second one, where I did the restore of the offline copy, that will take place automatically. Then you mount a mailbox database and you're back in business. You can also recover to an alternate location. A mailbox database is, since Exchange 2010, no longer bound to a particular server. So you can restore it to another location, create a new mailbox database, use this file, and you're back in business. You can also use a recovery database file. You create an additional database called a recovery database. It's not available for regular clients, but you can restore your backup into this recovery database, mount it, and start recovering data from it. You can use, what's in the next slide? You can also recover it there and use third-party tools to recover any data from it. When you create this recovery mailbox database, it's mounted. It's only accessible for the Exchange administrator, i.e. the admin-style logons. Regular users are not able to log on to this particular mailbox database. And you can use the recovery mailbox database to recover mailboxes or individual items from the backup. So if you have it mounted, you can say, OK, get mailbox statistics minus RDB, new mailbox restore request. And you can restore mailboxes from this recovery database into this server. Another option is the dial tone recovery. Suppose you have a server and the mailbox database crashes, and you have actually no time to start digging into the issues and restoring all kinds of things because you have users that need to work on the Exchange server. You can restore the messaging service by mounting an empty mailbox database. So users can log on. They will receive incoming messages. They can send messages. They can create new appointments. But they are missing historical data. but they can continue. They won't be happy, but they can continue working. And at the same time, you can work on recovering the original mailbox database. When you're done, at some point, you have to swap the mailbox databases. Bring the recovered mailbox into production, and the data that was stored in this temporary mailbox needs to be purged into the recovered database. And when you're done, you are up and running and got all the email messages again. There's also something like an individual item restore, which is not officially supported by Microsoft. But in the past, there was a brick-level support. An application, a backup application, would log on into the individual mailboxes and backup the individual items. Works fine, but takes a horrible amount of time. There are some third-party vendors that offer a granular restore technology or something similar. It creates a VSS backup. The backup is stored, and then the backup is indexed. And the backup application is able to retrieve individual items from this backup. And it uses CDO to restore this individual item into the mailbox, which is great. Symantec is one of the vendors offering this solution. But it's, although it works fine, it has been working fine for years, it's not officially supported by Microsoft. Another one, if you lost your entire server. In this particular example, I'm thinking about an Exchange server where I'm using a separate domain controller. If you have an Exchange server running on a domain controller, you're toast. You have to start all over again. Build a new Active Directory, install Exchange, create new users, and try to recover all the data. If you have a separate domain controller, lots of the data of the Exchange server is stored in Active Directory, and you can use this information for rebuilding purposes. So you create a new server, use a setup application, read all the information from Active Directory using the /mode-recover-server option, and it will reinstall again. This is only an unattended option. So this is not a GUI thing. And the steps are you have to recover or reset the computer account in Active Directory. Do not recreate the account, because then you have to do all steps in ADSI edit to recover it again. Install a new server with the same name, join Active Directory, bring it up to date, and start the setup application. When the server is up and running again, you have to restore certificates, protocol, log files, etc. But you will have an Exchange server identical as the one before the crash. The last one I want to talk about briefly. This is the first slide. Why do you want to backup? To recover from all kinds of disasters. And Exchange has this data protection solution. And in certain condition, it works fine, and you can run your Exchange server without a backup solution. And it's called a backup-less environment. For example, when there are deleted items, they are stored in the dumpster. And the time they are there is set by the deleted items retention. You can set it to 30 days or 90 days, for example. If users start complaining that they have been deleting email messages, they can retrieve it in Outlook using the recover deleted item option. So they can do it themselves. You can also enable single item recovery or in place hold. You can do this for senior management, for example. They can remove something, items from the mailbox, and these items will be kept indefinitely until the point you disable single item recovery. So when they start complaining, yeah, I have deleted this message 18 months ago, and it was from me sent to them, and most likely the subject was like this, you can, as an administrator, retrieve this message from the dumpster. You can create a database availability group, a DAG, to recover from database failures. We have seen in my demo, it's possible to recover a database, but it's quite a lot of work. If you have a DAG, you will have multiple copies. If one database fails, it's no big deal because you have another copy. So over time, you will see that the recovery technologies is getting less important for customers because most customers implement a DAG and can recover quickly from a failure. You can create copies in additional data centers. You can use lagged copies and another lagged copies. You can enable continuous replication circular logging, which is a special implementation of circular logging, especially for a DAG. Like in circular logging, transaction log files will be deleted, but only if all exchange servers in the DAG agree that it's safe to delete log files. There's only one thing here in the Exchange native data protection. If you have a legal requirement to make backups, to store backups offsite, to keep them for 7 years, whatever, you have to create or implement a backup solution. But you have to evaluate, the most important part, you have to evaluate your own requirements for the Exchange native data protection. And if it works, it works fine, absolutely. So the summary. Exchange using VSS snapshot. A snapshot is not a backup. And the backup application needs to be Exchange aware. There are multiple recovery options available. And the Exchange native protection can be an option, but it depends on your own requirement. My first demo, where I did the offline backup and the replay log files, I've written a blog post on that. It's in my drafts folder. I will upload it later today. Tomorrow, I will write a blog post about the VSS backups. I will upload it tomorrow. So if you want to read it over again, you can check my own site, jaapesalius.com. So don't forget to fill out the evaluation. Think about the pictures. Make my career, break my career. So it's the only way I can get feedback from you to improve my future sessions, I hope. Any questions, please come forward. Otherwise, have a nice day again. Enjoy Mac, and hopefully see you next time.